From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrikan.com.
We're joined by Ntate Jabu Tsweni from the CSIR, that is the Center of Scientific and Industrial Research. Ntate Jabu, you spoke about the intersection between cybersecurity and AI, specifically looking at the not-so-good aspects and also good aspects. Let's start here, Ntate Jabu. As the lead researcher in the Cyber and Information Research Center, what do you do at the CSIR?
So CSIR is a state, you know, entity, which is a research council, and we do a lot of research and development work, but particularly for national interest. In other words, you know, the work we do cuts across various domains. It can be in agriculture, in health, in security, in mobility, you know, in technology in general, but for improvement of the quality of life of South Africans. That's generally what we do as the CSIR.
Yeah. Now, with the Cyber and Information Research Center, what sort of research output what sort of research output finds practical application in industry?
So there's quite a lot. So we do a lot of work in secure identity systems, mm-hmm. you know, looking at biometric systems, looking at facial recognition. Like now, we do a lot of work in terms of how do we build systems for identification of children. For mm-hmm. example, if you look at the issues of human trafficking, mm-hmm. generally one of the weaknesses within the system is that, you know, children, let's say when they are born, within the South African context in this case, the only thing you can identify them with is just a piece of paper, which mm-hmm. is the birth certificate. Mm-hmm. They are biometric systems, they're generally not captured because they are a little bit weaker, they have not developed. So we build technologies that tries to bridge that gap, as a typical example. But also, you know, we do a lot of work in terms of data security and analytics, you know, supporting a capable state. We do a lot of work as well in working with different government entities from the legal perspective, you know, in terms of drafting these policies like the POPEA and various others, you know, the Cybercrime Act and the likes. But also the other element which we focus on is about building a local capacity, mm-hmm. right? Working with different entities such as small businesses and the likes, because one thing we are aware of is that most of the technologies that we consume, they are foreign-based. Mm-hmm. So how do we then, as the CSIR and a national entity, build and invest in building our homegrown technologies mm-hmm. so that maybe in the next 20 years, you know, we'll be having our own Microsoft or our own Apple in the country?
Oh, that's lovely, because I think it's such an important thing, particularly looking at, you know, the storage of data, for example, with cloud infrastructure mm-hmm. being that of mostly multinational tech companies, you know, it would be amazing to have local service providers and companies actually creating these data centers. Ntate Jabu, you were the keynote speaker today at the Indaba X. You touched on some very interesting points I'd like us to discuss a bit. You discussed on the risk that cybersecurity has become right across the world. You put a very interesting chart by the World Economic Forum that ranked cybersecurity high up on, you know, the global risks. We've seen a lot of hacks in South Africa. Department of Justice, particularly in government, Department of Justice and other sort of entities, right? And can you paint the picture? Why are we having all these hacks, particularly in South Africa? And I think particularly in the state, what's the gap? What are we not figuring out?
So maybe as a start, I think the hacks, they happen across the board, right? That's number one. Obviously, it happens in the private sector. It happens in the public sector as well. Just to give you an indicator, you know, the information regulator, because now in South Africa, it's mandatory that when we are breached, you need to report.
Report, 100%.
We find that the information regulator just a month ago reported that just year on year, the number of reports have doubled. Mm-hmm. Now, the previous year, we had about 570 or so hacks in South Africa that were reported. This year, we are sitting at 1,000 plus, right? So, but many a times in the media or in the news, we will find out about, as we have mentioned, the prominent ones in government, such as the Department of Justice, the NHLS now, you know, Transnet, and the likes, because that's what can be reported. But some of them don't get reported. Mm-hmm. But the gap, right? Where's the gap? The gap is obviously many a times these organizations, public and private, they do not have the necessary controls in place. Mm. In other words, security becomes an afterthought.
Mm.
You know, it's the same thing I was mentioning, that, you know, it's the people who want to only think about putting cameras and the burglar
after the fact.
After the fact. After, you know, they always want to. But this is a societal culture that you see even in how, for example, people do things. You know, where you would only want to protect your phone only if you have been breached. Before, it seems like no one will get to you. So I think that's the first thing. But the other thing which we need to mention, which I've already spoken about, is that aspect of homegrown technologies. Many of the technologies we use, they are not ours. And I always make this example that, you know, if I'm going to use a technology of country X, but I'm trying to defend myself against country X. Where's the logic?
Where's the logic?
Because, 100%. You know, it's just like you were talking about the cloud storage. If I'm saying I want to protect my sensitive data, you know, from person A or country A, but I'm storing my data in that country, you are always going to be shortchanged, right? So, but because we don't necessarily have the infrastructure ourselves, so it's those are the things that we need to start to build. But I think the other challenge is within the leadership context, whether it's in business or in government, the cybersecurity aspect, they are only gaining prominent now.
After the hacks.
Only when they see it. You know, when I speak to business leaders all the time, when nothing wrong has happened, you can tell to somebody, you know, in order to assess your environment, maybe let's say it's going to cost you 100,000. People say, oh, that's too much money. It's too expensive. You can't invest in it. Because cybersecurity is not something that you can see a return on investment. The return on investment is the protection.
It's the protection.
Not the profit.
100%.
You see? But when you are breached, you are going to lose more than 100%. You are going to lose more. For example, if you look at organizations such as Transnet and others, it takes them 6 or more months for them to recover. And that can have a huge impact. You know, if you look at the Department of Justice, when they have a breach, it doesn't only impact the technological aspect, but it affects, for example, let's say children who needs to get, you know, maintenance money. 100%. They can't get it.
The court roll is slow
and the likes, you know. 100%. So, and I think the country needs to have a serious look into how do we streamline security and inculcate it into our everyday processes, from HR, finance, and everything.
As a strategic function.
It's a business. It's like a business risk, you know, as a business function, because it's not just a technological thing. It's part of the business.
Now, Ndaleja, in your discussion with the intersection between cybersecurity and AI, you made a case study of ChatGPT Worm, right?
Yes, yes.
I was very taken aback. Can you explain this ChatGPT Worm and in the wild, how are people using this tool? And yeah, if you can just paint the picture for us, because I feel like for viewers, this is important.
So you know, as we were saying, ChatGPT and all these other platforms that are put out there by these global companies, most of the time they put them there to make our lives easier, you know, and enable technology. But at the same time, the criminals, because these tools are open platforms, if I can call it, you know,
like source.
Yeah. So they are able to take them and then re-engineer them for their own nefarious purposes. Mm-hmm. So like the WEM GPT, this is almost like a variant, is the bad ChatGPT, if I can call it that. So they create that so that you could go into it and generate prompts that can create malicious code. Let's say you wanted to create an antivirus to hack people's phone. You can do that, you know. And that is why nowadays you can't do that on a normal ChatGPT or Gemini or Meta and the other likes, because they now sanitize those.
Yes.
But somebody who's got access, you know, to the language models and the platform, they can do it, especially if they have the skill. And they then sell it because you, who probably is angry at your previous company, you want to hack them, you can go there and say, generate for me a tool to hack and do this and do that. And that's what criminals do. If it means they must pay a nominal fee of $100, they will do it
100%.
Because the returns are very high.
100%.
You know, and the problem also is that, you know, law enforcement takes a little bit more time to counter some of these activities,
mm-hmm.
and that is why in the dark web, as you would know, it's anybody's place. Ooh. There, people sell guns, they sell marijuana, and all the illegal things.
My goodness, that was very scary when I heard that. Ndeleja, we lost you before I let you go because I know you have to have to go off.
Mm.
As the CSR, in terms of your research and in terms of just sharing best practices, what foreign states do you exchange information? It could be about cybersecurity or the intersection of, you know, AI or some, you know, other sort of information and cybersecurity research. What other states do you closely work with?
Okay, so of course I don't want to get into trouble and speak for the state,
mm-hmm.
but CSIR, you know, our role, we work and collaborate with different entities,
okay.
locally, nationally. Obviously, we align with what the national government will align to, you know, like BRICS, the countries we work very closely with. But obviously, you know, I'm part of various other entities, like such as in the UN, ITU, where we work with the Western countries as well, even the countries in Asia. So because we are researchers, we tend to work across the different countries, obviously, with the political and country climate allowing. So we tend to work a lot and share various things, you know, mm-hmm. from SADC to your African Union in Africa. We collaborate with a lot. And I think that helps because, you know, in the cybersecurity space, one of the core things, especially in dealing with cybercrime, is to be able to partner with all of these countries of interest, because when crime happens, it can happen everywhere. It can happen in Ireland, and sometimes you may want them to support with investigations and things like that. So you have to, we all have to be friends, if I can call it that, to fight, you know, some of the sketch.
Ndeleja, we thank you for your time at iAfrican. We really enjoyed your keynote. Looking forward to many more.
No, thank you very much, and it was nice speaking to you.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.